Hey, what's up, everyone? Ben Standing here. I am gonna play for you guys the podcast that Todd Dybas and I recorded right after game one, which was at this point almost 12 hours ago. And if you're wondering, I'm talking to you guys at 4 in the morning on a Monday. And if you're kind of wondering what the heck happened, how come we didn't get a podcast up after the game, since that's typically how we go, I wanted to give you guys just wanted to let you guys know what happened. Bottom line is, about halfway through the game, I really started feeling some discomfort, and it was kind of a struggle for me to get through what I had to get through after the game in terms of writing and then doing the podcast. I told Todd, I don't know how this is going to go, but let's give it a shot. Right after we did the podcast, the pain started getting worse. I left the arena on my way home, went to get checked out, and basically, I am dealing with a lovely kidney stone. If you've never had one before, thank your lucky stars. It is not fun at all, and it's taken me kind of all night to get to the position where I can even just do this much. But in any event, I wanted to at least get this up. Just wanted you guys to know what the heck happened. I didn't want you to think I flaked on you or anything, and I've just kind of waiting for the opportunity where pain subsided enough that I could sort of deal with this and get something up. So without further ado, here's the podcast I did with Todd after the game. I'm not gonna lie to you, no idea what I said. Hopefully it was reasonable. I'm sure Todd carried the day as he often does. That's the deal. The Wizards are practicing Monday and Tuesday. I will do my best to get out there for that, but I don't know. We'll see. Hope, knock on wood, hope for the best. Oh, no, knock on wood. We want to jinx this. Get this over with. All right. Anyway, so here we go. Todd Dybas and I talking about a big game one win for the Wizards, and I will let you guys know what's happening with me and getting another podcast up as soon as possible. All right. Here we go. Our traditional post-game recap. Myself, Todd Dybas, recapping game one, Wizards over the Atlanta Hawks.
You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Scott, when you see John go through a stretch like that, it seems
like take over a game?
When he takes over a game, either assisting or scoring every basket, have you come to expect that will happen at a certain point during the game? And is there anything that gives you an indication that that kind of stretch is about to happen?
Well, I've seen it enough, and I know now, just keep my mouth shut. Let him take over the game. And he makes great decisions. He's a high IQ basketball player. And I tell him this all the time. I'm going to tell him this tomorrow. You can dominate a game on the defensive end. You can dominate a game on the passing, your passing ability. Your scoring is just icing on the cake. And obviously, if you wanted to average 27, 28 points a game or 30 points a game, he can probably do that. But it's not going to make us a better team. He makes us a better team by playing the way he plays on both ends of the floor. He just brings a toughness, an edge to our team that we need and that we...
All right, and that was Wizards head coach Scott Brooks explaining to the world that he understands when John Wall's in takeover mode, he just needs to get the F out of the way. Smart move. The Atlanta Hawks defenders tried their best to stay in front of John Wall. They couldn't do it. His speed changed the game, changed the pace, and helped the Wizards take game one, 114-107 over the Atlanta Hawks. Ben Standing here. I'm sitting basically courtside, right? Courtside adjacent?
Close, yeah, we're close.
Close, yeah.
We're in our riser seats, our official seats for the game.
That is Todd Dybas for the Washington Times. We are, our normal spot in the media room is, or the interview room is ixnay for the playoff because they had to put more media people in there, so we're finding other space, but this is good. We can see the court, we can see the spots where John Wall was running up and down, where Keith Morris was making shots, where Jason Smith put a scare into everybody, and where also there was that spot right over here where Keith wrestled Paul Millsap to the ground, a play that got referenced later in the post game show.
So we'll talk about a bunch of different things here. The playoffs have begun. The Wizards won. I don't think either one of us are at 100% right now, but we're going to gut this one out. I don't, you know, it's weird. For a playoff game, it felt rather regular season-y to me. I know Markieff Morris said he thought the intensity was different. It was his first playoff game, as it was for a few guys, and I think the crowd was good and all that, but I don't know. I wasn't like, oh my God, it's the playoffs. And maybe it's because, I don't know, it's not my first rodeo at this point, and maybe it's because neither team, especially in the first half, was very good.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same. I thought the crowd was engaged, and as we noted early on, it was nowhere near full. But it was noisy.
It was officially a sellout.
Wink. But they were engaged, and they were loud early. And you're right, though. When both teams shoot 33.3% for their half,
yeah,
that's a good way to take the steam out of any situation, especially for the gracefully aging people that we are, who have covered multiple playoff series, and you know it's just game one. Against the Atlanta Hawks, not to disparage them, but they're not carrying some of the bigger names in the league into this first series. So it was a brutal first half. Luckily, John Wall countered the ugliness with some artistry in the third quarter and really got the Wizards going. 69 points in the second half, even when they were kind of slowing it down at the end and trying to milk the lead and just run the clock down, still 69 points. That's a staggering figure that has to make Atlanta very nervous, since they had a distinct and large advantage in free throws made. I think they ended up plus 16 in free throws made. Yes, 32-16. And they still lose by 7 and give up 69 points in the second half. That's a formula that tells me Atlanta doesn't have many options to make this an extended series.
I want to come back to a couple things you just said, but just to go through a couple quick stats here. So John Wall, the takeover game, 32 points, 14 assists, 12 of 24 from the field. I don't know how much did he even score in the fourth quarter. He wouldn't even have to do that much. He left the game. The Wizards, to go backwards, they were up 11 in the first quarter, were down 8 in the second quarter, losing at halftime. Took control in the third, went up by 15, but Atlanta got down to 5. But while he was out, they went from, I think, up 7 to up, like, 15, which was a good sign because in the first half.
And there was a tweak there by Scott Brooks in the first half. I'm sorry to cut you off, but it looked like you were just about to say in the first half they put the bench group in,
yeah,
all bench guys, and it was a disaster. And instead, in the second half, Bradley Beal was the sub for Wall when he came out late in the third quarter. And then to start the fourth quarter, it was Beal, Morris, and 3 bench players, not the 5 bench players that closed the first quarter and started the second quarter. Scott Brooks learned a quick, hard lesson there that he didn't want. He wasn't going to do that again today. We'll see what he does going forward. But that obviously helped having Beal and Markieff Morris, who had a fantastic first playoff game, out there with the bench guys, was a much better formula.
Absolutely. Bradley Beal, slow start, but did round back with 22 points, only 2 of 11 from 3. Morris, you mentioned, 21 points, 7 rebounds, 4 blocks, and he really just...
He outplayed Paul Millsap. So one of the Wizards' role players, and again, that's not to disparage someone, that's not to disparage Markieff, because I think, as we talked about on here, actually, in the past, I think he's vital in this series, but he's not their star. He's one of their role players, and he outplayed Atlanta's best player, Paul Millsap, today.
Yeah, no, it was good to see some people noting today on Twitter that they're finally accepting that trade was reasonable. That's nice of them. So he did that. They did that. Otto had 10-9.
Good active game for Otto,
particularly in the first quarter. Gortat, 14-10.
Really good game for him. I finished my story, and I was like, I'm not talking about this enough. Maybe it's because he didn't talk with us, and I don't know if Howard talked to anyone because I didn't make it to the Atlanta locker room. But I thought Gortat had a fantastic game. 2-for-2 on dunks. That's a good night for him. But, yeah, I thought he had a fantastic game handling Dwight Howard.
And in pregame, Scott Brooks said he needed – Gortat to be physical. For Mahimi, that's sort of his natural game, but Gortat, not as much. But he was very aggressive. The one point in the second half, he had a dunk, screamed afterward. Now he got a tech, and I didn't see the replay, so I don't know.
He gave the hammer motion to Paul Millsap, I believe.
I gotcha. But I thought that was a good sign. I mean, just to see him get going like that and to be engaged like that. Kelly Oubre, 11 points off the bench. Turnovers, these are two of the top three teams in the NBA in terms of forcing turnovers. The Wizards lived up to that billing. Atlanta had 21 turnovers. The Wizards only had 12, and they had like five, I think, in the first 7 minutes of the second quarter when things started to go awry, but or late first, early second. So they cleaned that up for sure. Somebody, you know, it's like there's like so many different angles to discuss that I'm sort of at a loss. I guess let's just go back to this, not to like sort of harp on the negative, but you mentioned the bench before about how Brooks went straight backups in the second quarter.
It was 121 to play to close the first. He took out Wall, and then that was an all bench group from there.
I don't know what the Vegas line would have been, but if you had told me there's a line out there that the Wizards will or will not ever have only bench guys on the court in non-garbage time, I might have bet no. I really didn't think we would get there. Now, part of it was Bradley Beal had 2 fouls in the first half. Again, yep. I mean, you know Jan Mahimi, but that he's also on the bench. And yet, they went that way. And not for terribly long. Satoransky played. He only played 2 minutes, so it wasn't like it was crazy. But I was stunned that they kind of did that. And I really wonder, after watching how you mentioned the fourth quarter with Morris and Beal out there, how much we're really going to see this again. I mean, Atlanta has a better bench, especially if they're going to go as they did today with Bazemore off the bench and starting Taurean Prince and Tim Hardaway Jr.
Cephalosha didn't even play.
Yeah, I didn't even coach's decisions. Yeah, I was surprised.
Budenholzer said after the game, you know, that's what we decided to do. So that was surprising.
Good for the Wizards. I mean, as far as I can tell. So that I thought was interesting, but like, and maybe also like reason I it felt to me like this didn't feel like some playoff game. So many of the patterns were very similar for the Wizards. They get off to a good start. I saw a stat somewhere this week that said something like the Wizards were like one of the best teams in the league in the first 6 minutes of the first quarter, and Atlanta was better, I think, later in the quarter, and that's how that played out. We've seen that time and time again. Wizards start off hot, but seem to fade, and then you get to the all bench, things go awry there. And then to start the second half, you know, come out, they immediately, oh, yeah, that's right. We have to actually do the things we have to do to win. And that happened here. There's people in the behind us cleaning up the Verizon Center, which is important to do. That's the noise you hear. So anyway, I guess it just felt very similar. But I guess one good thing to say about all that is, as common as it all felt, it was a very old – I guess I don't want to say it was a rather matter-of-fact win because things did get tight late. But at the same point – you know, the Wizards took care of business, and I always judge these things that I have to change my story too much in the end. Not really. Had to insert a line that said they cut it to 5, and then that was about the extent of it. They made 4 free throws after that, and that was about the end of it.
Yeah, I think that the Wizards' passivity toward the end of the game contributed to the lead dwindling to 5 points. So, lots of good signs, especially from Markieff Morris versus Millsap. Gortat versus Dwight Howard. Gortat stayed out of foul trouble, but still played aggressively. His screening again was excellent, and just holding off Howard down below was great. We kind of disagreed on the concern about Howard going into this series. I think you had some certainly very valid points about Mahimi not being here and if Gortat gets in foul trouble and how would they manage all that. So they were able to avoid that tonight. Gortat basically handled the whole thing by himself.
He did. I mean, Howard had 14 rebounds, but he had 10, I think, by halftime. But
you still don't feel like his impact. I mean, if you're going to list the guys who had impact on the game, I don't know, where would you put him?
Look, let's put it this way. If his name wasn't Dwight Howard, the All-Star, maybe a Hall of Famer, God forbid, whatever you want to say. Just kidding, I think. Who knows? He was just... He was the center for the other team. And
right,
and he
got
some
rebounds.
He was involved a little bit. But, yeah, it wasn't like, oh, my old Lord, Dwight Howard's out there. It didn't have that feel. And it basically, considering how the Wizards have played against the Rudy Goberts and the Hassan Whitesides this year, teams that play defense, that slow it down, that have that big man in the middle, that is the formula that's been a pest for them this year. So, but at least for this game, it did not make a difference. And interestingly enough, man, Atlanta's big run in the second quarter was when they went small,
right,
took him off the court completely, and had Ilyasova basically playing the five, and that worked out well for them.
Pace is... So that's why I think pace in the series is going to be such a massive influence, as it typically is with Wall as your point guard. But even more so here, there's a limited number of athletes for Atlanta to draw from to kind of play that pace. And eventually Washington is going to be able to outplay them if they have the game in kind of in that tone. And when you score 69 points and a half, you have the game in that tone. So I'm curious to think about what Atlanta can do differently. I know it's just a game, and probably Paul Millsap will play better, and certainly I think Tim Hardaway Jr. will have a better day at some point in this series than he did tonight. But in the end, I still can't wrap my head around distinct changes that they can make to make this a seven-game series, or even win the series at any point.
I wanted to try to do certain like categories for the podcast. You know, stepping it up for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
This first one,
you want to step up for the playoffs after we've. Let's try stepping it up after we don't work like 10 hours to 14 hours the day before. We're going for the step up. As we're both sitting here zoned out.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not saying we have to go run suicides or anything. It's more just, you know, channel or funnel the discussion a certain way. But yes, the Capitals game went long last night. We were both here. Player of the game. This should not require a lot of brain power. The player of the game, sponsored by nobody for now. If you'd like to sponsor, you can hit me up. bstandig1@gmail.com. We'll talk. Player of the game. Okay. Game one. I don't think this is that complicated.
Not complicated.
Right?
Correct.
John Wall?
Yes.
Should we,
confirmed.
Confirmed?
Yeah.
We were playing a game, a couple of us in the media room, about who's going to have the podium game. If we take off Wall and Beal, we're going to assume that they'll like one or both will be there all the time. Who's the podium game?
Do you think everyone knows what the podium game is?
I don't know.
Markeith didn't even know.
He didn't know the term podium game, or that they had the podium game, or that they had a podium afterwards. In other words, the typical deal is we only talk to the players in the locker room after the game. The playoffs, it's a different deal. Both locker rooms are open, but they funnel coaches and certain players to a staging area, to a press conference area, and they bring out a couple guys. So we use the term podium game to sort of like, for somebody who's sort of the outside the box, that you wouldn't think, oh, he's automatically going to talk like Wall. I don't think we're, well, I guess you technically might have thought somebody else. I kind of thought would have picked Markieff Morris. Somebody beat me to that punch, though, in our little personal game. But he's the one that did have the podium game. Is there any argument with that?
No, there's no argument.
Right, no.
Yeah, he outplayed Millsap. I thought, yeah, he had a very good game. And before he went to the podium, I said, hey, casually talking to him on the side, I said, hey, you know, first playoff game is a podium game for you. And he said that he didn't even know that happened in the playoffs, and he was actually tired and really would prefer to just go home like the rest of us. And I said, no, it will be good for you. You'll see. And he just smirked, and he did fine at the podium.
He did fine. No need for the 7-second delay or anything.
Actually, it's kind of let down.
All right, stat of the night. Seeing as how I did not prepare you for this, and I have not necessarily thought of anyone in particular, I'll just go through this. I went through the sort of the five things I thought was key for the series, and I think a lot of them sort of played out today. One was Markieff Morris against Millsap. If Millsap is the best player in the series, the Wizards are going to lose. Game one, that was not the case. And over the in the regular season, their numbers were comparable, and Morris actually beat him in a few spots. He did it again today. That's huge. Second thing I had, Marcin Gortat avoids foul trouble. We talked about that. That occurred. I don't know if I mentioned Jason Smith did have a scare at one point. He fell to the court right at the end of the third quarter with what he said was a bruised knee. I don't think he ever came back in the game. He did go back to the bench, was hopping around doing Jason Smith things, but didn't come back. We're still assuming Jan Mahimi's out for game two, and beyond that, we don't know. If they lose Jason Smith at all, that becomes really...
Getting thin fast back there.
Yeah. Third on my list, Wizards defend the three. Not that Atlanta is good at it, but the Wizards rank 29th in opponent three-point shooting after the All-Star break, and Atlanta goes 7 for 25 from three. So they did a good job there. Which second unit ends up first, meaning who's better? I think Atlanta's was better, certainly in the first half,
yeah. And
that's where they're probably going to have an edge. But in the second half, partly because Brooks shortened the rotation a little bit, and Oubre in particular did better. So Atlanta got the edge there, but not in the second half. It was not as big of a thing. And then lastly, John Wall and Bradley Beal have to dominate. The Wizards have a massive edge in the backcourt. Does not mean as much if they don't do it. Well,
54 points.
Yeah, 54 points. I mean, give Dennis Schroeder credit, 25 for them, but Tim Hardaway Jr., 2 of 11 from the field. The Atlanta needs – Atlanta just doesn't have a lot of guys who are going to light you up, and they need them. They need a nice balance, and with Hardaway only doing that, they didn't get the job done. So, I don't know. I mean, there's other things to consider, but at least of those five things, the Wizards in my head got 4 of the 5, and yep. The one was almost borderline a push. I won't say it was a push. We'll give Atlanta something.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would agree. I'm curious if they're going to change their starting lineup when talking about the bench thing. Torian Prince was nowhere for the start of the game. He's a rookie in his first playoff game, obviously. He looked a little better in the second half, and I think Kelly Oubre kind of went through the same cycle. In the first half, he didn't look very good, maybe overly amped, whatever his issue was. He made a few bad decisions, missed a dunk, missed some other shots, but in the second half seemed to settle down and play better and let the game come to him a little bit more. So I'm curious if they're going to take Bazemore and put him back in the starting lineup to chase Beal and give him a hard time instead of telling Tim Hardaway Jr., hey, you need to be a primary scorer and deal with Beal defensively. They could move Tim Hardaway to Otto and put Bazemore on Beal and kind of divvy up his responsibilities there, and maybe that will help Hardaway's offense. I'm curious to see if they're going to do that either from the start or via how they maneuver their rotation in game two.
And I'm curious about what we're going to talk about next, because we're going to end the podcast here, but then I'm going to make you keep talking because I'm going to miss you. You're going to leave. All right, so we'll end it there. You should, of course, I didn't say this earlier, but it's playoff time. I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast, and of course you can find them all on iTunes and all that, but you should also read what Todd writes in the Washington Times. I'm sure it's fine work today, so go check that out. Yeah. And if I post something, you can I'll put it up on link up on Twitter, at LockedOnWizards or at Ben Standing. All right, Wizards win. Good for them. Get off to a nice start for the playoffs. Game two Wednesday back here at Verizon Center. Practices in between, so we'll talk plenty more in between then. But until next time, see ya.
Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Long drive, long bounce shot. Dagger! Long ball.